What I wanted to do is start with a video. Hopefully I have a video. Okay, good.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right? Come
here. Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm gonna join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Oh, I just had to play that. I want to contrast that with something, if it's okay with you. Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had one thing, everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, sharing their food with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Listen again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship with one another. They sold their possessions and shared with everybody. They had everything in common. Every day they met together for worship. They ate together in each other's homes with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God and enjoyed each other. There were wonders and miraculous signs among them. Their numbers grew daily. Now, remember the video? Do you see a difference in the two churches? Just look at us today compared to them. I think it's obvious. The church has been weathered. It's been impacted heavily by the culture, by time, and mostly by our own sinful nature. I mean, there's a church almost on every block these days. Have you noticed that? Everywhere you go, there's another church. And there's another one springing up after that. One after the other after the other. And it just goes through my head. Why? What's happening? Is God doing some good here? Have we gotten our hand in there and maybe messed things up a little bit? You know, one of the things that I recognize is just the competition that goes on now. It's almost as if Burger King is in competition with McDonald's, is in competition with Wendy's, is in competition with Red Robin. Oh, I just remembered, I forgot to go on my birthday and get my free hamburger. Doesn't it seem that way? It was back in the early days, the competition was the early Christian church with all the pagan religions of the day. Now it's within the Christian church, and in fact, you know, if there's something you personally just don't like or there's something that turns you off a little bit or If there's something a little bit out of sorts with who you are and your personality, all you have to do is drive an eighth of a mile down the street. There's another place for you. It wasn't like that back then. They were all together. They ate their meals all together. They shared everything they had in common with all. And their numbers grew daily. It was just one place, one church, one unity, one baptism, one faith. The other day I asked somebody about our church. The guy was about this tall. What do you think of our church? Oh, it's great. That's where mommy and daddy go to drink coffee. You know, let's be honest, when people talk about going to church these days, you know, one of the last things they really talk about is the structure and the form and the theology of the message. Instead, we talk about what's sensational, the programs. We talk about the building. We talk about the music. It's an oddity of today, not the Acts 2 church of the Scriptures back then. And it's not like I'm removed from it, neither are you. I carry the name Lutheran, and I am fully Lutheran. I have taken oaths and vows to be Lutheran and to follow the Lutheran teaching and what the Lutheran church practices. And as I think about that, and as I know myself to be that person, sometimes it's a little bit antagonistic even within my own spirit to know there are other Christians out there and other churches who are traveling a different path. I've been asked to do, you know, some of these graduations, commencements, and to go and do the prayers. This was some time ago when I was in Suring. And so they would call me up, and they would say, you're in the rotation for this year. Would you come, please, and do this? And I'd always have to say, if I'm in charge, and everybody does what I say, kind of a thing. It's just always seemed kind of weird to me that we'd venture there. After a while, do you know what happened? The rotation quit because the law started to change, and then the students had to vote on who they wanted to come and be their pastor for that commencement. Now they don't even have one anymore. That's just the way our culture is today and the way sin has entered into the church, that we have this lack of that sense of the basics of the early church, the basics of the early church. Notice there was one teaching. The apostles came together and they followed their teaching. There was only one teaching. They came together and they had fellowship together, one with the other. There was one fellowship. It wasn't all divided. Everybody was together as one giant Christian family. They went to each other's homes and ate together. I used to do this in the country all the time, by the way. I remember growing up that way. Hardly ever ate at home. We were always rotating around. It was always neat to go to somebody else's house, their farm, and to see who was all invited at that place and what was going to be on the table and the prayers that would be said and the conversations. We often talked about the pastor's message, but we never talked about the pastor. There's a difference. They ate together. They sold their possessions, whatever they had, and they brought it all together in a big pool, and they distributed it, and they shared that. That's how close they were and how much of a family they had become. And then, the kicker, there was awe and miraculous signs. Now, some people go off on a tangent with that, with healing and all this other kind of stuff. I don't. If you had all the stuff before, don't you have miraculous signs and awe? I mean, we can't hold on to those things today. Could you imagine if we were a practicing congregation like Acts 2 did back in the early church? That would be awe. That would be miraculous signs. That would be really sensational. But notice it's all about the people. Did you see the size of the church? Did you see the facility? No, there wasn't one. They had the temple, they met in the courts, and they went to each other's homes. Did you see the pastor? How he smiled and wore nice suits? No. They had the apostles. They were themselves. Did you see the neat programs? The cool music? No, I don't even think there were probably many instruments. They had an a cappella choir. They all sang together whatever they knew. There was no screen. There was no projector. There was no PA system. None of that stuff. Sometimes I think, boy, that would be easy. That'd be simple to do. Not having to put pictures up on the screen, just concentrating on the message, that kind of stuff. The early church really was focused on the people. And if you notice this, they weren't focused on themselves. They were focused on others. There was that self part of it. They grew in their nurture and love of the Lord. The apostles taught them, and they got to know who Jesus was, and they got to know who Jesus was really well because the apostles walked with him, and they clung to Jesus. The salvation he offered on the cross, the blood shed for their sins, these people who were once nothing were now really something in the church. They had hope. They had a future. They had direction. Isn't that cool? And it continued from there as they grew. This became a fruit that couldn't contain itself within themselves, and they gave what they had. They invited people over for dinner. They spent time together in fellowship. And they served one another. That's real simple stuff. Grow spiritually yourself, and when you grow spiritually yourself, it can't be contained. It's going to touch other people. Jesus gave this to the people. They were baptized into this. They were baptized to die to themselves and to rise to live for God's kingdom, not their own. God's kingdom. And they became that kingdom. And they lived it out in their life. You know, I just kind of want to take you back there. And the reason is sometimes it gets to be so complicated we don't know what to do anymore. Isn't that true? We don't have answers to some of our questions. Well, how are we going to handle this? Or how are we going to handle that? Right? This issue, that issue, the next issue. You know, where is our church going to be in 5 or 10 years? What about the facility? What about the leadership? And in today's world, there's such a focus on having this great purpose and being something particular, which I happen to believe in. But the problem is, we do it all alone. We've lost this kind of focus of the bigger picture, the bigger body of Christ, that we're all in it together as one. And as one, we have something together. And all God's people say to that, Amen. Really, kind of the basics, isn't it? The joy of being part of God's kingdom. The joy of that same faith, that same conversion, that same love for Christ, that same fruit that just can't be contained, to share it, to have it, to enjoy it, to let it be something extremely special, and in that, something extremely sensational. Not to use as a sales pitch, because Christ and Him crucified and raised for us, that's really what we have to offer as it lives in us and grows in us and becomes a bigger part of the whole. In Christ's name, amen.